Presenting all 50 reasons to switch your business to the new Sage 50 accounting software. Ready?
Ready.
Go.
One, Sage 50 is quick to install and easy to use. Two, turns information into insights. Three, improves efficiency. Four, easily tracks and forecasts cash flow. Five, supports online banking. Six, creates and manages budgets.
Time's up.
What?
Six. Seriously? For all 50 reasons and a free trial of Sage 50 accounting, visit sagetoday.com/50.
Wait, I can do it.
Oh, that's sweet. sagetoday.com/50.
Progressive Insurance presents Flo's newest song. We compare rates to give you confidence.
We compare rates to find you a great deal, so you can be even more confident. Not that you need more confidence. I'm sure you're a great person with great posture, and you probably look really good in corduroy pants, which isn't easy.
Comparing rates to help you save. Visit Progressive.com today.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Everybody get ready for Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. A foodie born and bred, my wife Nikki loves chatting up chefs, dining out, and insider industry buzz.
And my husband David thinks a great meal is nothing but a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under $20. Because he is cheap.
Well, maybe so, but Foodie married Beast anyway, and together we've got the food and wine variety show that has everyone talking.
It's Foodie and the Beast, and we are on now.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We have got
a really full studio.
There's so much food in this studio that for once the glutton in me is going to be satisfied.
Oh, boy.
Yuck, yuck, yuck. All right. Very quickly, want to wish happy birthday to one of our most ardent listeners, Tessa Nellis, who turned 10 today.
Yay.
That's just selfish self-promotion there. And also,
she's at Hebrew school. She can't hear us anyway.
That's right. Money, Tanaha, Lila, Hazan. But we also want to just mention quickly, last night at dinner we had at Peter Martin and Amanda McClement's
house.
Cahal Armstrong and Tiffany McIsaac. He cooked the meal. She did the breads and the desserts. And it was an intimate.
And Mark Culler brought 5 magnums of wine.
Yeah, and his wife.
It was
Kristen.
A really tough evening.
But so, I mean, it was an amazing meal, including a foie gras that was.
Oh, the pate.
A pate.
It was insane.
Same thing, isn't it? What do I know? Anyways, it was awesome. All right, so we got a studio.
Actually,
full.
Wouldn't that pate be really good on a bagel right now?
I
think that'll be amazing.
I think I'm going to throw up.
I think somebody has the leftovers.
Okay, so Gray Ingert and Nathan Ander are in here. They're talking about the Snallygaster, and I'll leave you with wondering what that is. Beer festival that's coming up.
I like that word, Snallygaster.
Well,
it's a great
there's
word.
There's something to the legend. I looked it up because I'm an indefatigable researcher, so I can
tell
you
all about
that.
That's
an SAT
word.
That is an SAT word.
It's a good way to start off the morning.
Yes, sir. I'm rubbing it in. And Wildfire's executive chef, Eddie Ishak, is here with farmers Anna and Daniel Cohen. I guess we've just got Daniel in the studio from Bay Haven Farms. And we're talking brunch, but we're talking the centerpiece of brunch, which is the incredible edible egg. And we're going to talk about their free-range chickens and other animals and why they're
all about the farm.
Yeah.
It'll be great.
Hey, we bought the farm.
We also have in with us Aaron Gordon. He's going to be talking about his new restaurant, which is opening later on this week, The Drafting Table, yet another addition to the 14th Street area. And Jamie Leeds of Hank's Oyster Bar is
My
in studio with
Jamie.
Us. She brought us lobster rolls. And she brought with us Gina Tresorvani, who is in. She's going to be shaking up drinks that are now featured at the Eddie Bar. We're going to be talking to them about their new concept.
Why don't we start with Gina and Jamie?
Okay, perfect.
All right,
why
so,
don't we?
Guys, here's the thing. Hank's Oyster Bars are already, you know, an award-winning staple down in sort of the semi-DuPont area on Q and 16th-ish.
And also in Alexandria.
17th-ish, excuse me, and in Alexandria. And you've got a new one on the Hill, right?
On Capitol Hill, on Pennsylvania Avenue.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and you've managed to talk in DC's mixology perpetual motion machine, Gina Tresorvani. She's not just doing your cocktail machine. You know, every time Nikki says Gina's coming to the show, I'm like, get me a seatbelt. You know? But you're going to be involved with the place. You're not just doing the cocktail menu and moving on, right?
No, I'm fortunate that Jamie and I are now partners in the
Katie Bar the Door.
Yeah, so it's a great opportunity and amazing, and I don't know, I'm a little speechless when it comes to it, and I get a little blushy.
Oh,
which I know
shucks!
You can't say.
Oh, gee,
I know.
So,
but let's talk about the Capitol Hill location, Jamie. I mean, what made you guys decide to go there? I mean, you have two places that really, you know, kick ass. So, what made you decide to open
can
up?
Can you say kick ass on
I
the radio?
I can say ass, can I?
Okay, ass. My wife said ass. Okay.
I mean, they do.
It's so, a kick ass location.
Kick tushy. It kicks tushy. So, why Capitol Hill? Why that location specific? The old Babe.
Well, I always, I tend to approach opening restaurants with the real estate deal as a primary focus mm-hmm. when I'm first opening. And so, because that can make you or break you as a restaurateur. So we came across this deal, and it was a really good real estate deal, and it was something that we just couldn't pass up.
Well, and plus that neighborhood must be loving it.
It's a great neighborhood for a seafood restaurant. There mm-hmm. aren't that many seafood restaurants up there. There's really nowhere to get a good, simple piece of fish. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the New England style stuff that we do, the lobster rolls and the mussels and the lobster bisque and of course, the oysters. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the other thing about, I mean, and this is an unsolicited testimonial, but we were at the first Hank's, I think the first week it opened.
Oh, yeah.
And at the...
Well, I mean, I was at the opening. I don't know where you were, but...
Oh, God, you are such a snob. I'm doing my own radio show now.
Good luck.
there's an atmosphere in there, too. There's a buzz that makes it, I mean, it's a very homey kind of welcoming thing there.
Well, with this particular location, we in teaming up with Gina, we're emphasizing the cocktails in the bar. So the bar is a major portion of the design of the restaurant, which is a little different from the other two Hanks.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's really the centerpiece
it
of
is.
The restaurant,
yeah.
And the whole bar. And, you know, again, since you haven't been to the new Hanks, and I have.
Oh, my God. What's one of those seven words I'm not allowed to say? Quick, give me one.
But so was it the partnership with Gina that made you decide to make the bar the centerpiece, or were you already thinking that, given the space?
I was starting to think about in that direction, but mm-hmm. then, you know, partnering up with Gina really locked it in.
Yeah, she can.
Because I really wanted to focus on what her expertise and her talents are. I mean, she's, you know, a very talented mixologist, mm-hmm. and we really wanted to feature that.
All right. Well, Miss Gina, what are you making first?
We're going to have a breakfast cocktail. So it's a little bit of strawberry shrub, which we made in June and kind of been hanging out, a little bit
okay.
of vinegar, a little bit of gin and lemon, just really light, refreshing, goes really good with lobster rolls.
Excellent.
And I think I have enough glasses for everybody here to like kind of share.
Okay.
And then we have, of course, our hand-cut ice, and it's one of the features of Eddie Bar is we have block ice. We don't have a cold draft machine or any of those things. They hand-cut all your ice to order.
Cool.
So
all right. Well, when we come back to you, I want to hear more about that.
Can I get my ice in a 40 rig?
Yeah.
Never mind. No, somebody laughed. I can't
believe
it. I know.
They, like,
all
really
right, well,
laughed.
While Gina's doing that, let's talk to Greg and Nate, because you guys, we're here to talk Snallygaster, both the legend and the Oktoberfest-ish event that's coming up. And why don't we, what's it all about?
So Snallygaster is going to be our giant beer festival. We used to do an Oktoberfest thing at Rustico the past 5 years, but we outgrew the space. So fittingly, we're doing it right by where Blue Jacket, our upcoming brewery, restaurant, bar, is going to be, Yards Park, on October 13th.
Subtle promotion.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No.
And at this point, it looks like we're going to have 150 different beers on tap, Oktoberfest pumpkin ales, autumn ales, and then just everything we can get, and then great food from the likes of Nathan and Kyle Bailey and Tiffany McIsaac.
So you're just rocking it as a festival, but why call it Snallygaster? What does that mean?
That's a good question.
Okay.
naming things is difficult, but we decided to kind of detach it from just being like an Oktoberfest thing, because it's so much more than that, we hope. Mm-hmm. And Snallygaster, and David, you can check me on this, but it's a...
I'm checking you, man.
It's like a Loch Ness monster-esque
like
creature,
right.
Who apparently terrorized the denizens of D.C. and Maryland in the late 19th, early 20th century. So this is kind of a monstrous beer festival, so we decided to go
cool.
out.
He looks like Nixon, actually. Sorry.
And Nate, you came in today. So Nate Anda with Red Apron Butchery. Nate, first tell us what you brought in, because it's so gorgeous.
I got a pork pastrami sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pork sirloin that's brined and smoked like a pastrami.
Okay.
One of the benefits of being one of the hosts of the show is that I have to eat the food because it is so well.
I can't. Oh my God.
Does everyone want me to dig into this?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
It's a wet sandwich. We make a jus out of the end scraps of the pastrami and pork stock, and it's got a whole grain mustard.
My parents made a jus out of me. Yummy.
And a bacon braised sauerkraut.
This is awesome.
And that'll be one of the sandwiches served at Stanley
I will. I want to ask questions. Well, let's talk a little bit about Red Apron, because you guys have been at the farmers markets locally for
4 years.
For a while now. But it looks like you're getting some brick and mortars. So can you tell us a little bit about what'll be coming up?
First off is going to, we are building a production facility 550 Penn, which is right by the Union Market. And then once that gets rolling, then number one property will be a retail spot in Mosaic District in Fairfax.
Nice.
And a little bit after that will be Union Market. And then on D Street in Penn Quarter.
Just for everybody, Mosaic is essentially at the corner of Gallows Road and Strawberry Lane. And it's a perfect location.
We're right next to My Organic Market. It's
great.
So it'll be a perfect one stop.
More importantly, you're close to my office.
So for those who aren't familiar with your Red Apron products, I mean, what can people look forward to?
For the last 4 years, we've been able to just basically experiment and play around and figure out what we want to make and what we're really good at making. So,
like
this pork strami sandwich. We're going to have, at any given time, there'll be 60 to 80 different products between cured products, smoked products, and raw cuts. So over the last 4 years, and even when I was at Tallulah, having the network of small farmers and selling at farmers markets, meeting all these other farmers, and that's what we're going to be able to make all of our products out of.
Okay, so, you know we have a farmer in studio, right?
We'll hang out later.
But the commissary is going to allow you to do like massive production?
It'll basically, right now I work in a room smaller than this.
And our little studio?
Yeah. It's probably 8x10 and it's myself doing it. So.
Well, let me ask you a quick question. Then I want to get back and talk about Snallygaster beers. But, you know, I mean, charcuterie is a fancy French word for cold cuts, but the act of creating charcuterie is, you know, anything but a joke. And I don't know that people have a sense of what you go through, what you do to make what you make.
It's a big pain, but
do you scream?
Nah, sometimes.
Okay.
No, it's right. I mean, I think there's a lot of experimentation that has to happen. It's hard to make it and know what it's going to taste like the next day. It's like you hang something up and you take it down 3 months later, 6 months. I mean, I have hams that when we open the Mosaic District will be hanging for 25 months.
And what do you do to them? Are you just playing? You just sell them.
Yeah.
Cook them in salt.
We have a son who's been hanging for about 24 years, hasn't he? See him do something.
Nice.
He's pickled.
I'm going to assault him. Right.
Everything kind of starts with a base and you kind of just learn what works with each other and go from there.
But what is your favorite? Does it change? Does it revolve? Like, you're like, I'm really into this today, or next week you're like, no, I'm really into that.
I love my hot dogs. Not going to lie.
I love your hot dogs,
too. We like
them,
too.
Yeah.
So it started off, the hot dogs are the backbone of Red Apron, basically. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what, when we were at Tallulah, we were getting whole cows and whole pigs, and we had to figure out what we're going to do with all this extra meat, and then the hot dog came first, and then started selling at farmers markets and selling out, and then we got the hot dog cart. Now I make 12 to 13 different hot dogs.
They say that they're man's best friend, and apparently they are. All right, Greg Engert, we got a minute before we have to go to break. Tell us about some of the beers that we're going to find at Snallygaster, and I assume this is one of them.
The Procrastinator? What is this?
It's called Procrastinator. It's a brand new beer. It's actually a Swiss beer. It's from the Jura Mountain region, Brasserie Franche-Montagne. It's based on the German Doppelbock style, so it's a dark, strong lager. They actually left it outside in oak barrels so that it froze, and the water will freeze before alcohol. So they leave that behind. It concentrates the liquid. It's kind of freeze distilled.
About it's interesting because it smells totally different than it tastes.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
It's hugely fruity in the nose, and then it has a lot of sweetness, and it finishes dry. It's a little tannic aspect to it from the wood.
Well, it smells like it's going to be really heavy, and then it's not.
It's super light. It's pretty crisp, yeah.
I like it very much. It's awesome. Very different.
It's fruity in the nose. But then, of course, you can't breathe if you actually put it in your nose. Is that correct, Craig?
I believe so.
All right, thank you.
Well, sometimes you laugh and it comes out your nose.
Yeah. Nikki does. You should see that. You shoot it across the room. All right.
Okay.
Let's go to a break.
Yeah, this is Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. When we get back, we're going to be talking more Snallygaster, and then we're getting into brunch. We'll be back in just a sec.
Federal News Radio, available on demand at federalnewsradio.com and on your smartphone with the free TuneIn Radio app.
FederalNewsRadio.com, your one-stop shop for all things federal. Listen daily to interviews with federal managers and government contractors. Read Mike Causey's daily federal report, or just stop by for an update on the latest news affecting the federal community. FederalNewsRadio.com, your source for federal news now.
Congratulations on landing the job. I'm really excited for you.
Thanks. How's your search going?
The job market's tight. I mean, I can barely get an interview. Yeah. And I've got student loans to deal with. You're lucky, you know. The National Guard paid your loans off.
Luck? The Guard was a smart decision, one you can still make.
The National Guard Student Loan Repayment Program can pay up to $50,000 of your existing student loans. Get the details at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the D.C. National Guard, aired by the Maryland, D.C., Delaware Broadcasters Association, and this station.
I'm on a mission to spread the word about COPD through music. COPD stands for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. My grandfather suffered from symptoms of it, and COPD is the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S. I'm Billy Ray Cyrus, and I drive for COPD. Looks like people are starting to get the message. Anyone age 35 and older who has smoked as little as 100 cigarettes could be at risk. Visit driveforcopd.com today and talk to your doctor.
Hi, this is O'Donna Matthews. What does 3 decades of service add up to? For the Capital Area Food Bank, it includes these important numbers. Distributing 25 million pounds of food to nearly 500,000 people through a network of 700 partner agencies. 30 years, it's a long time. But the mission continues to make sure that no one is left hungry. To learn more, contribute, or volunteer, visit CapitalAreaFoodBank.org.
We are back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. And I do want to say, if you want to eat well on a Sunday morning, get your own radio show, yo, because we're eating well here. So I got Greg Angert and Nathan Anda here. They're talking about Snallygaster, which is their big, can I call it an Oktoberfest-ish event coming up?
You certainly can.
Oh, God, you're so nice, Greg. Yeah, why don't you tell everybody where it is, you know, the nitty-gritty, where totally. It is, tickets.
So it's going to be Yards Park down by the National Stadium. Navy Yard Metro is right, like, 2 blocks away. October 13th. Mm-hmm. You can get tickets now. Altogether, it's a big fundraiser for our nonprofit, Arcadia, mm-hmm. Which is the Center for Sustainable Food and Agriculture down in Mount Vernon area of Virginia. So you can get tickets online now at snallygasterdc.com. Mm-hmm. Or just show up the day of.
Snallygaster, just in case.
DC. Right.
DC.
Yeah. Right. And of course, you can just show up day of October
13th. How many people are you expecting? It's completely outdoors, right?
It's completely outdoors. It's a giant space. We have tons of beer, tons of food, so we can deal with whoever can come. So we hope it's
I think
big.
The Nellis family should
I
be
think
there.
We'll be there.
I'm making 3,000 sausages and 1,500 sandwiches, so
we better wait, how many time. Sausages?
About 3,000.
Wow.
At least.
I'm not sure that's enough. We'll be there.
Are you serving them as sandwiches?
I'm making bratwurst. With mm-hmm. Braised cabbage. I'm going to have hot dogs. And then I'm also doing the pork salami sandwich.
Okay. That sounds really good. And Tiff will be there making desserts?
She's doing pretzels, too. Hot pretzels.
Yum.
Kyle's doing pigtails, which are
okay, wait. What?
They're just braised and fried pigtails.
Really?
Yeah.
They're like chicken wings. They're delicious.
They're awesome.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to try
and good
them.
Good for you, too. That's right.
They're very lean.
So are they like little curlicues? Like,
no, they're bigger than that, but they look like wings.
Yeah, I mean, you much. End up eating them like a chicken wing. You throw out the middle of them.
And they're real pigtails?
Mm-hmm. No, they're fake pigtails. No,
just like Nate Kyle, but Daly, you know what I mean. He breaks down pigs some. Weekly, so we right. use the whole animal.
You know, you mock me, but they're calling this thing Snallygaster, and it's got nothing to do with that dragon, so there.
Well, the dragon's on their thing. It's like
I want to try a pigtail. That sounds
very cool. Yummy.
You will.
They're like Korean fried, right?
Yeah.
Aren't they Korean fried?
Yeah, Korean fried.
Cool.
Yeah,
awesome.
What is that? Right. Wait, what does Korean fried mean?
It's like, have you ever had Korean fried chicken?
Yes.
Yeah. So
it's done just like that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, it's time to move
Where's Kyle?
We had Tiffany last night. All right. So Greg Engert and Nathan Enda, thanks for coming in. Guys, if you want to know about Snallygaster, go to snallygasterdc.com. And based on what I just put in my tummy, this is not an event to miss. All right.
Absolutely.
Okay. So back to Gina. Originally, you were going to have to book, but now you can stay with us, right?
Yep.
Good girl.
Yes.
Okay, so
yes,
can you just tell me again what a shrub is? Because I'm not familiar with
that. A shrub.
So shrubbery. It's basically any fruit or season that sits in vinegar for a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And then it does like a small, like, it kind of restarts a re-fermentation.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take it, you add sugar to it, and then you cook it off. And then you bottle it, so you let it sit. So these strawberries were done in June.
Wow.
So it's a way to preserve the season all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
It's like pickling, but pickling syrups. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right.
Not to me, but it's really tasty. So,
and it, as you were putting together the cocktail menu for Jamie's place, or both your place, sorry, for the Hank's Oysters Bar.
I know, it's weird, right?
Right, on Hank's Oysters Bar in Capitol Hill. What were you, like, were you thinking about the food as you were putting it together? What were you thinking about as you put the cocktail menu together?
Definitely about the food. I've always been, chef focus, food is important. It's got to be able to go with everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you're tasting this now. You could definitely have oysters with it. Or, again, the lobster roll is really good.
Speaking of lobster rolls.
I know, they're right there.
Holy mama.
Everybody, please.
Wow.
But our menu this time is a little bit political, too. We're on Capitol Hill, and it's got a lot of stuff with the naming and cocktails.
I know that.
Damn.
You're all staring at the lobster rolls.
Well,
so
it's hard not to. Jamie, can you just tell us a little bit about your lobster rolls?
Well, the lobster is, it's from Maine. We get 6 pound and over lobsters, and we probably get on an average about 500 pounds of lobster a week.
Wow.
And I pretty much have one prep person dedicated just to cooking and cleaning the lobsters in the week. Yeah. And
that's amazing.
So we just shell the lobster. It's just simply tossed with a little bit of mayonnaise and celery. And salt and pepper. And the bun is made specifically for us by Gold Crust Bakery. It's baked. It's a top-loading bun.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we butter it and toast it. And
it's delicious.
It really makes the lobster roll special.
They're the best lobster rolls in the city.
Thank you.
I have the same feeling about this lobster roll as I do about my wife. I love them both.
Aww,
that's so sweet.
What'd you say?
Shut up, Greg. Anyway.
People love the lobster roll. People from Maine, they're always saying how it's better than the lobster roll that they grew up with. So we're really happy with it.
Well, it's great.
It's
all right.
Thank
yum.
You.
Gina, what are you going to make next?
We're gonna do a non-alcoholic drink, something you could drink at lunch. We have lunch now on the Hill.
Okay.
So obviously people can't go back to the Capitol totally wasted.
Really?
I don't know. So this is orange. It's an orange sassafras soda, and then it's a little bit of ice cream, and then just kind of add a little bit of sparkling water to it, so it kind of fluffs up. But it's really light, even though there's ice cream in it. And it's been a really big hit at the end of night, so replacing desserts too.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Great.
And they look amazing.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Thanks.
They're really beautiful.
Mm. All right. Well, I gotta swallow now.
Yep. Mm. Okay.
So. Wildfire out at the Galleria in Tyson's Corner has become, what's a good way to describe it? Sort of like a power restaurant out there, because it's the best place for lunch. It's the best place for dinner. It's the best place to meet for drinks and do some biz. But Executive Chef Eddie Ishak is in here talking about brunch, because suddenly brunch is big at Wildfire, yeah?
Yeah, it's huge. Actually, we just switched up our brunch menu last weekend. We added some stuff off that have been popular as our brunch special items, and took some stuff off that really didn't get the D.C., Maryland, Virginia crowd. So trying to switch it up a little bit. Crab.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, coming from Chicago, crab was like, you know, whatever. But coming to D.C., Maryland, Virginia, it's like all about the crab. So we redid our crab cakes. We got super lump crab in there. We did some eggs Florentine. We also did a Monte Cristo sandwich, which is very, very good. Just a classic classic simple sandwich with Swiss cheese, ham, and turkey. That's pretty much it. So,
well, you kind of said the magic word, and that's eggs, because the centerpiece of any brunch is eggs.
And we've got this gorgeous basket.
We do. Daniel
Cohen
from Bay Haven Farms is in here. And he's not your typical farmer, that stereotypical guy that you would see in a Norman Rockwell painting. He's a real dude. He's sitting next to me.
Had to leave my weapon at the border if that helped.
Good. So how did you find...
Sorry, I have to interrupt. David Hagedorn is here.
Oh,
come
God.
On in. Push the door open. He heard lobster rolls, and he came on down.
No, here's the problem. Here's the problem. The Washington Post is looking for any kind of coverage it can get. So David Hagedorn, who's a food writer at the Post, is here to schnorr, which is a Yiddish term for stealing food.
Oh, are there lobster rolls? I had no idea.
Just take it, eat it. I'm on the radio.
They're treif.
Eat the treif. All right, so how did you guys find each other, and why Daniel's eggs?
So, actually, Wildfire found us about 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. Eddie's predecessor found us through a listing. My wife, the brains of the operation, put us on a listing.
I met her. I understand that.
Yeah, I get that a lot. We listed ourselves in Loudoun County Farmers, and Eddie's predecessor found us, and I guess the rest is
history,
food history.
So, talk about your eggs. Why are your eggs better and different?
Well, first of all, the chickens are all free range. There is, all my vehicles are testaments of the fact that they're free range because they sleep on top and do their business all over the vehicles.
But, we have dogs who do that, but why is that better?
Well, because they actually get to eat things other than grains, scratch grains. So our chickens are out eating clover and bugs and whatever else comes across. They're pretty serious predators,
but
actually.
But so free range, you know, sort of has gotten... sort of muddy, like, you know, yeah. There's lots of people who say free range, but they're still,
well,
you know,
it's
gated
because
in.
The government tells you what free range is, but it means you got to have a hole in the wall that the chickens can see grass or possibly go out into the grass.
Right.
But real free range is the chickens, you open the door, the chickens flat out, and they run around.
So pasture.
Fending for themselves.
Pasture raised.
Yes.
Would probably be the best term. But now you have other animals on your farm, too, and everybody is pasture raised?
Yeah, everybody's in the pasture.
So do you have to get certified for, like, are you considered... humanely certified? Do you have to do the certification? Do you know what I mean?
I'm sorry.
I know. She's making drinks, and it's all right.
Keep it down over
there.
But, you
know, the getting in the
humanely
way.
Certified, there's that certification process.
Right.
Do you have to do that?
You don't have to, but you can.
Mm-hmm.
As with all certifications, there's a cost associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody has a question about our animals, we'd love to have anybody come out to the farm anytime to come look at the animals. They're all out.
Mm-hmm.
They all have family groups, if you can, you know, call chickens a family.
Mm-hmm.
We have one rooster. The pigs are raised out.
I bet they don't have family reunions.
I never thought about that.
Come back from the dead.
But they're all out. And to us, the best testament is come out anytime. You don't have to arrange a time if you want to show up at the gate and you can get past the dogs and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
We'd be happy to show you around.
That's what we say at our house, too.
Yeah.
You have to get past
our
dogs.
So let me ask you a question about, because I just read a report a couple of weeks ago that now, you know, there was, for a while they were saying, well, there's not so much cholesterol in eggs and they're really okay and eat the yolks and eat everything. And I just saw something new that said, oh, yeah, wait, there's a ton of cholesterol in there. What's the whole deal on that? And does how the chickens are raised and how the eggs come out of the chickens, is that affected or does that affect cholesterol?
Well, there are studies that say that true free range out getting grasses and bugs and such that creates a better egg. Not being a scientist, I've never really taken one egg and, you know, done the breakdown on it. But I can tell you that chickens act like chickens. They run around, they hunt, they interact with each other. And I think the product is better. If you look at the eggs, you can see the color of the egg change as the season goes by.
Well, let's do that. I mean, I want to...
So that's a regular store-bought egg from where we get our
eggs
from.
Crack one egg in there.
Okay.
And then those
Which
are the...
Which egg should I choose? They're so beautiful.
And then those are the Bay Haven Farm eggs.
I hate to, like, crack it and not use it. Okay.
Put it in a cocktail.
No, my grandma Tanya used to just put them in a glass and drink them.
Okay.
That's what they do in the old country.
That's why she's dead.
No, she's dead because we killed her. Well, look at
but
the
look
difference
at the
right off the bat.
So,
yeah.
I mean, clearly radio is the theater of the mind, but, I mean, the... pasture-raised egg is just, it's so bright, it's so orange. But do you think a lot of that has to do with, I mean, not just the health of the chicken.
But the bugs.
But the bugs and the food. I
Absolutely.
Mean, is that really what it is?
Yeah, so we sitting on our little side patio this morning watching the chickens pluck the clover leaves up.
Mm-hmm.
So the difference of having actual green stuff with chlorophyll and all those wonderful vitamins, and it shows up in the eggs. So I firmly believe, we both believe, that any of these animals that are raised out as opposed to in some sort of enclosure, even just the moving around and interacting, I think is better for the product that comes from the animal. So you could probably do a study and show that one is better than the other. I believe anything that's naturally occurring, like an egg or salt or butter, how can that be bad?
No, I'm with you.
Right?
All
I mean, they're tremendous to
eat.
Quick
question before we go to the break.
We have to take a break.
I know. I've heard the chickens are so stupid that you have to get them out of the rain because they look up and their mouths fill up.
No,
with...
chickens actually
turkeys,
don't like the rain. They will hide under anything. Turkeys now might be stupid enough to stand in the rain.
All right. Well, Greg looks like you know some turkeys? You're smiling and laughing at me. I want you to understand that when this show's over, we're going to throw down. All right.
Okay. All right. When we come back, though, I want to find out how a farm of your size can create enough, has enough eggs to supply. Like, how can we get this kind of quality eggs around for everybody? Like, how can we do that? So this is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be talking more brunch and eggs when we come back.
Skype connections are encrypted from end to end. The problem that some people are having is that Microsoft recently bought Skype. And Microsoft has been implementing some architectural changes to Skype. And now people are thinking that Microsoft or perhaps Skype itself has the ability to intercept phone conversations on their own servers. In other words, they could set up a man-in-the-middle attack from their servers.
Stay up to date with technology. It's Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on 1500 AM.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies, and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
Hey everybody, I've got a special do not miss invitation. Join us, Foodie and the Beast, Sunday, October 14th at 11 a.m. for a live broadcast. Now we're going to be at one of DC's great restaurants, the fabulous Postmodern Brasserie. Now, if you haven't been to one of our live shows, this is the one not to miss because our live shows rock. And we're going to be at one of the city's best outdoor spaces, the Post Courtyard. Of course, we'll be talking to celebrity guests like Chef Dennis Marin. And you can bet, if you listen to our show, you know, there'll be good treats and Bloody Marys. So join us at Post on Sunday, October 14th. For information, call 202-783-6060.
Soon, this little baby I'm singing to sleep will start to walk. Before I know it, I'll be dropping her off at school, beaming when she walks up to accept her diploma, or holding back tears as she takes those big steps down the aisle. But before she takes all those steps, she and thousands like her will need you to take yours. Join March for Babies to help make her steps possible.
March for Babies!
Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
So we are back on Foodie and the Beast, and we've got Eddie Ishak in with us from Wildfire, and we're talking chickens, and we're doing all this stuff. I guess, Eddie, you know, let's talk brunch for a minute, because brunch is becoming...
Well, you're going to start cooking. What are you making?
What are you making?
I'm actually making a simple prime rib hash. I just took some prime rib that I roasted actually before I got here, roasted it for like three and a half hours, nice medium rare. Marinated in ranchero sauce, which is pretty much just water, tomato, jalapeno, cilantro, and onion. Just searing it up here just to get it nice and...
Are we going
to
set off the fire alarm?
I hope not. Is it going
to
happen?
It might.
I'll just do it real quick.
That'll pretty much end the show.
Some green peppers, onions, red peppers. And also some breakfast potatoes.
Boy, this is a great show.
And so this is now on the menu?
This is now on the menu, yes.
All right.
Just sauteed for a little bit. I'm going to deglaze it with some beef juice.
Okay.
And call it a day.
Yeah.
All right. I want to go back while Eddie's finishing that up. Dan, where's the farm? Can we come visit?
Absolutely. So we're our mailing address is Round Hill, Virginia. We're very close to Bluemont. If anybody comes out for the Bluemont Fair, so we're right up against the Blue Ridge, straight out Route 7. And you can find us, bayhavenfarm.com, B-A-Y-H-A-V-E-N farm.com.
Why is it Bayhaven? There's no bay out there.
Our horses are bay-colored. Okay, so we started off as a horse farm.
You had an answer. That's good. Yeah.
How long has the farm been in existence?
So we originally started at the old property, so somewhere around 10 years now.
Okay, and how'd you get into farming?
Well, that's a long story, but it started with horses.
Well, I don't have that
moved
much
moved on to dogs, then...
You were farming dogs? You were raising,
yes, we were farming
dogs
and raising,
were you
breeding dogs, Anatolian Shepherds.
Oh.
Giant come-visit-my-farm dogs? Mm-hmm. Not. Then we had sheep, then we had goats, and then begat chickens, which begat pigs, and then dairy goats.
The chicken begat the pig?
It did. It's in the Bible.
We're reading a different Bible.
Well, so I just want to ask, we just have a little bit of time, but I am sort of curious. I mean, how many eggs do you guys produce, let's say, a week?
So that it depends on the season. So we have somewhere around 400 odd chickens, and we'll get somewhere between 200 and 250 eggs a day. And it depends on who's molting and who's not, because they don't lay when they molt.
Okay.
So it's sort of this running 200-ish eggs per week. Or, okay. I'm sorry, per day.
200 per day.
All right.
Okay.
So I'm going to have to cut this short because we've got to keep the thing moving. But Eddie, are you going to dish that out? Why don't you go ahead and dish that out? We'll try it. We'll comment on it. I'll give you my
I don't know if you have any
testimonial. And Jamie, while Eddie's doing that, can you step up to the mic? Because I want to ask you, you know, you've really gone through this sort of evolutionary process with your restaurants and all that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if at the beginning, maybe cocktails, the cocktail thing I think was just starting when you first, you know, the big resurgence of cocktails being an important part of it when you opened the first tanks. But what about now? I mean, why?
Well, yeah,
I guess why Gina? Why not just some dude who makes, you know?
Yeah, somebody like Sebastian. I mean, why not?
We have Sebastian as a bartender. Well, I opened the first tank 7 years ago, and cocktails weren't as big as they are now, definitely. And Gina and I have been friends for when I first came to D.C. She worked for me as one of her first bartending jobs at 15 Rhea. And we connected way back when.
Wow, that's a long time
that
ago.
That was the reason why I came to D.C. was for working for opening 15 Rhea. And
I remember that. I remember being there.
Yeah, and so she was my bartender there. And
That was terrible.
She was learning. She was definitely learning.
Well,
her,
it was also a different
craft.
World then. I mean, cocktails weren't what they were. What they are now, 10 years ago, here in D.C.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks to Gina.
And she's really grown over the years.
Absolutely.
And, you know, had many different jobs, and so she's been able to.
Gina, you're like the Daniel Boone of cocktails, leading us into a new world.
No, that's Todd Thrasher. I'm the next person in
that. Well, you're in good company.
Yeah.
Eddie, I just want to ask you one quick question. This is delicious.
Yeah, it is.
But you guys have a pumpkin carving contest. Did I read something about that?
Actually, we have a pumpkin carving class for the little kiddies. October 27th. It's
okay.
Saturday, 3:00. Donations go to Food for Others.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been with them for a couple of years now. So it goes to a good cause.
And what are you going to teach everybody to do? I mean, pumpkins are a pain in the neck to carve.
They are, especially with 60 kids there. So,
Are you going to teach them how to stop the bleeding? That'll be nice. Put a tourniquet on that kid. All right, so what does the winner win?
Of the pumpkin carving?
Yeah.
Is our contest
last year,
or just
I think
class?
It was... last year it was the pumpkin I carved, so that's a little treat. Then we have a couple gifts for them. I forgot what they were last year, but hopefully we'll step it up and give something good out this year. So.
Cool.
All right, great.
All right, Eddie, thanks very much.
Thanks,
Gina,
guys.
I want to throw it back to you. What's the next drink you made? You got to move that mic.
We're not allowed to move the mic. What part of that was not clear? I'm just kidding. it's a cantaloupe. It's just cantaloupe water, a little bit of cinnamon, and it's actually a vodka cocktail. So I wanted to give you a cocktail from all different things that we do. It's a brunch cocktail that's on our brunch menu.
Did you say cinnamon? There's cinnamon in
there?
Yeah,
there's cinnamon.
It's really nice.
Yeah, it's just really light. You can get it with gin or vodka. It's just, and then if you're feeling good, you put a little prosciutto on top. So a prosciutto and melon. Cocktail.
Very smart.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. And so this is something for breakfast?
Yeah, it's on our brunch menu.
It's on your brunch menu.
Yep. Brunch, lunch, but mostly brunch. We sell a lot of them. They're really popular.
Well, and which do you prefer it with, gin or vodka?
Honestly, either or. It's a little bit more, it's a little different with the gin. It's a little bit more herbaceous, and this way it's definitely more melon. So it just changes.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
It's very creative.
Yeah, that way I don't say the vodka people can't drink, you know, you go to cocktail bars and they're always like, oh, you drink vodka? Well, half the world drinks vodka.
I know,
so.
But vodka's kind of become like a dirty word when it comes to like mixology, because people are like, no, it's nothing. It just picks up flavors, right?
Right. So this just tastes like melon, fresh. Right. So we're okay with that.
Okay.
All right.
Next. Well, I'll have it with gin. Anyway.
Next up. So, Aaron Gordon is a return guest to the show, but he's really a first-time full-service restaurant owner. He's just opened, or he's about to open, the Drafting Table down in D.C., and he's here to talk about it. And he's brought C.G. Wagner, who spells her name as weirdly as my wife, Nikki, who spells it P-F-G-M-Z-Y. So, hi, C.G., how are you?
Good, how are you?
Welcome.
Thanks for coming in, thanks for bringing in all this fabulous food.
Oh, thanks for inviting us.
First question, the publicity on the restaurant says it's going to be an eclectic menu. For you, what does that mean?
That means that we define our menu by if it's delicious, it goes on the menu.
Okay.
So there's no real theme as to nationality, to style of cooking, anything like that. So we have... what he's digging into right now is our grilled sticky bun. So okay. It's a sticky bun that you throw on the flat top. So
holy cow.
Are you making the sticky bun?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
My background's actually in pastry.
Okay.
So
can you cut me a piece
we
of that?
Do, you know, of course, all the desserts in-house.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're doing, you know, sort of fun and funky stuff. We're doing a dish called Kaya Toast, which is a coconut jam that's served with a hard-boiled egg with a nice soy broth on mm-hmm. top. So, you know, that's from Singapore. And then we have... some classic French dishes, Middle Eastern, with our falafel. Mm. So if it's delicious, it gets on the menu.
But you're only doing a small amount of plates, right, Aaron?
Tell us about the concept.
Let's start with the concept a little bit.
Well, the concept was sort of a small space to do almost a little gastropub. I mm-hmm. hesitate to say gastropub because the word
has been bastardized.
It's been bastardized a little mm-hmm. bit. But basically, we're a little bar, a little restaurant. We kind of say it's more fun to eat in a bar than it is to drink in a restaurant.
Okay.
So that's kind of the vibe we're supposed to go. We're hoping to go with a lot of high
Andy
communal
like that.
Tables.
Did I hear you laugh, Andy?
And Andy has no sense of humor, so it must have been fun.
We killed it there. We're hoping to go with a fun place where everyone can sit down and you can order a beer. Or you can order a full menu.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really up to you. And The drafting part of it came because actually I tagged one of my childhood friends who's a great artist, actually son of a great artist here in D.C., Bill Christianberry.
Mm-hmm.
And Andrew did a great job, and he started going with sort of an old retro theme, a drafting theme for our space. We were able to find 1940s drafting tables to actually put in the space, so a lot of cool retro slash modern
Just to
designs.
Remind people where you are, you're in the old... AC Casey space on 14th, right?
Yeah, yeah. AC Casey was there for a number of years, and mm-hmm. they were sort of a neighborhood favorite. Unfortunately, they had to go on to bigger and better things.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as I walked in the space, we were actually looking for old Shop Rabbit, which we came here last time.
Right.
But as I went in there, I saw sort of it looked like it should be a cool, sort of relaxed vibe little restaurant.
So did you have to build that whole space out? I mean, because there wasn't a kitchen in there, right?
We did. That was the big thing, is they cooked chocolate for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to put an entire kitchen in there. And the biggest part of that at any time is actually just putting in the kitchen equipment.
Right.
So putting in a hood that extends the entire porch of the building, putting in all the kitchen equipment and so forth. It was a little bit of a, it was a little bit tricky, but at the end of the day, it was turned out great.
Okay,
well, I was going to ask CG, because you went to the CIA and you did baking mm-hmm. and pastry, right?
I did, yes.
So
she said that earlier, weren't you? Listening?
I know, but I'm saying, so to Trent, you know, this is the thing about marriage that really can just gut you. But no, but I mean...
Doesn't gut me.
Because you're the one doing the gutting. No, but does, like, working on a sort of a broader full-service menu, what does that do to you? What do you have to go and sort of learn again or learn for the first time?
Well, I would say that saying that I have a degree in baking and pastry is slightly misleading, because all of my experience in some way still has tied into the savory world. I've never been exclusively only in pastry for any period of time. So while, yes, that was my title, different places, pastry chef, etc., I was, you know, working the line with the guys when, you know, people would call out and everything like that. So I've gotten to see a lot of cool restaurants. I've done stages. I do a lot of research on my own time.
She knows what she's doing.
Thank you.
She doesn't need a lawyer. Back down, man. Oh, Lord.
So, oh, my God. Andy laughed again.
I like to say I'm a food nerd, so I do a lot of research on my own just because I think it's fun, and that kind of incorporates into a lot of the dishes that I make.
Well, we have to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to talk about how the two of you sort of came up with the menu and how it'll change and sort of, since it's opening later this week, what people can expect when they get in there. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be back in just a sec.
The men and women of our National Guard and Reserve Forces are working hard on the battlefield and here at home. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve is working just as hard for them. For over 36 years, ESGR has paved the way for greater understanding between our Guard and Reserve Forces and their civilian employers, promoting a culture where all American employers support and honor the military service of their employees. Together, we all serve. To learn more, visit www.esgr.mil.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other. They still do. The few, the proud.
The patio is now open at Founding Farmers in Potomac. Dining al fresco in Montgomery County was never better. It's an idyllic setting, away from traffic, comfortable seating in a luscious garden setting. Dine al fresco on cool evenings around the fire pit. Founding Farmers in Montgomery County, just off Route 270 at Montrose Road West. A delicious getaway for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and weekend brunch. Founding Farmers, award-winning menus of great scratch-made foods with ingredients from American family farmers and from across the region. See the menu at wearefoundingfarmers.com.
Federal News Radio, available on demand at federalnewsradio.com and on your smartphone with the free TuneIn Radio app.
FederalNewsRadio.com, your one-stop shop for all things federal. Listen daily to interviews with federal managers and government contractors. Read Mike Causey's daily federal report, or just stop by for an update on the latest news affecting the federal community. FederalNewsRadio.com, your source for federal news now.
And we are back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. Before we get back to our guests, I just want to thank the people who...
make the show
shell
possible.
Out to make the show possible. Mm-hmm. And if you're not one of those, don't feel upset. Just join the club. Who do you want to start with today?
Well, how about start with what did Gina just make? Oh, my God.
Georgetown Bagelry, neighborhood restaurant group. That's the Two Rusticos, Evening Star, Tallulah Vermilion, Buzz Bakery, Columbia Firehouse, of course, Birch and Barley and Church Key.
Don't miss their Snallygaster event.
Don't miss their Snallygaster event. Our friends at the two founding farmers, including the new one out in Potomac and the new Farmer Fisher Baker down in Georgetown in the harbor.
Not open yet, but will be soon.
The Central Farm Markets in Bethesda and Rockville. Mm-hmm. All the Black's restaurants, Black Market, Black Salt, Black. and a new sponsor, the Kimpton Monaco Post, where we're going to be doing a live remote of the show on Sunday, October 14th.
It's going to be great. We have great people on that
be
show.
Be there or be square, because it's going to be an amazing show.
Craig Rogers, the Shepherd's going to be there. Patty Yaginich is going to be on from PBS. And, of course, Dennis Maron from Post will be there, too. But it's going to be a great show.
Craig Rogers will bring all his sheep. David. all right, so let's get back to Aaron Gordon.
I just had one of your pickles. Are you making pickles there?
Oh, yeah. We do our own house-made pickles. We actually have a separate pickle plate that is one of our shared plates on the menu. Mm-hmm. It's actually my favorite plate, to be completely honest. Mm-hmm. It's six different types of pickles, which means six different types of veg and pickling liquid. So we have everything from the classic dill pickle to a spicy carrot, a sweet pear, an Italian-style green bean pickle. So we have this really nice mix of everything, so everybody can find a pickle that they like on that plate.
Now, so as you guys were coming up with the menu, how do you feel like when it opens? Like, what's the bar scene going to be like? What are the drinks going to be like? The food, like, is it all small plates? How are you envisioning this?
Well, it's actually, first of all, it's we do have wine, a great wine selection, beer selection, and cocktails. Actually, we brought a great sommelier on, Brian Murphy, to consult with us on that.
Okay.
But we do have 15 to 16 draft beers. So that's kind of the heart of what we're doing, sort of anything from Europe to all over the United States, a lot of craft beers. Mm-hmm. There's some more fun selections like a Castle from South Africa, a Red Stripe from Jamaica, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But as far as the dinners, the meals go, we just really wanted to come up with dishes that were a lot of fun and very delicious and mm-hmm. a lot of things that you can share. So you say small plates, not really small plates, you know, pretty much everything is a large plate, but it's just great for sharing. So in much the same way that you would get three or four plates, mm-hmm. You might do the same thing here at the drafting table, but you would actually just share each one of those plates.
Okay.
All right. Well, make sure everybody knows where it is physically and how to find you on the web and the opening okay. and all that.
Well, the drafting table is right above Logan Circle. It's on 14th Street near the corner of Q.
The real dead area.
1529 14th Street. Mm-hmm. Again, some people might know it as the old AC Casey space. And you can find us online at draftingtabledc.com.
Oh, great. Just tell us quickly what that salad is before we have to say goodbye to you.
This salad was actually one of our rabbit salads that we brought over. It is a pear and prosciutto salad mm-hmm. with a lemon ricotta, and it's drizzled with honey and has cracked black pepper on it. And the arugula is tossed in a really nice balsamic vinaigrette. It's not a very acidic vinaigrette, so it has a really nice refreshing flavor to it.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
It's gorgeous.
Somebody at home is staring at the iceberg lettuce and tomatoes they just cut up to eat, and they're like, I can't eat this crap anymore.
Well, that's good. They
I'm
should
done.
Come out to our
that's
place
right,
then.
They should.
And so do we have an official opening date? It's this week?
Yeah, actually, we'll be opening on Thursday. That's okay. sort of our soft opening. Then we're going to do more of a grand opening on the 10th, mm-hmm. Which I will be doing a week of happy hour specials the entire week, all day long.
Oh, wow. That's great.
All right. All right.
Well, thank you both so much for coming in.
Thank you.
And for bringing such a terrific array
Jamie
of what you'll
Leeds,
be serving.
Step back up to that microphone, honey. So
here I am.
Wait, you're doing a... You're not renovating Alexandria. You're extending?
I'm expanding. The Old Town location.
How much?
I'm doubling the size.
Wow.
Into the space next door. I'm going to be building another
bar. What was next door?
Bar. It was a houseware store.
Oh.
It's the same landlord, so it's a nice, easy transition.
You've had a couple moves like that. Cause
yeah,
that's how
I did
you
the same thing with the DuPont location.
Yeah, smart.
So I just open up the wall and go into the space next door. We're going to build a 20-seat bar just like we have at the Capitol Hill location.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah, and so I'm very excited about that.
You're trying to, again,
build the bar business.
Build the bar business up.
So how does this...
And focus on the cocktails.
I have a question. Wait, oh, I'm sorry. Do you have
Oh,
one?
No. Go ahead. Roll right over me.
Well, I just want to ask good
Jamie,
as mine.
It's better because it just shows how well-rounded Jamie is.
Okay.
So you do a lot of charity work, and you do a
yes.
lot of work for other people. So how does this cut into that? Because they're only 24 hours.
Well, I'm
day.
Sorry. I've been telling people I have to start saying no to some things, but it's hard. It's always hard to say no.
You got anything on the horizon?
Well, I a few things going on.
I put you on the spot, didn't I?
Yeah. You know what I
mean? Oh, well, you've got the human rights.
Actually, yeah,
you've got the big
the HRC event.
Chefs for Equality.
Chefs for Equality is happening.
October 24th.
Yep, October 24th.
Do not miss
That's
it.
Happening.
Hagedorn has something to do with that.
We all do. It's a huge
and,
event.
Yeah, the food fight, the food fight.
October 8th.
So, yeah, there's always something happening.
Well, so let me ask you, when Gina said, I want an ICE program, were you like,
No, huh? I was all into it.
Were
I'm
you?
So into ICE. I love ice.
Can I turn that out? I'm really into ice. Why? Why are you into ice?
I just love the different things because of the transformation of the ice. I mean, you can make it into round. There's ways to make it into round balls.
We've seen it.
Yeah.
Is it a McKellen?
It's,
what is that?
Yeah.
It's
the McKellen thing. But the kid, the McKellen ball maker. It's like pressed ice.
Right.
But the guys are getting so good. They're like because they break ice every day. There's a way that they just wash the ice at Hank's now, and they make ice balls. So it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool.
It's like
she allowed to say that on air.
I think there's a joke in there. There's a joke, but I'm going to leave it alone.
Wait, didn't we say
it? All right, guys. Thank you for coming in. I'm going to slip Hagedorn in here for 2 minutes to talk about his event. So come up here. Stop chewing. You've got...
Well, wait,
got...
can Gina at least finish what she made us?
Oh,
she
yeah,
didn't tell us
about
the last time.
Right. Come on, Hagedorn. Get up to the...
It's called the Biggie Smalls. And it's Smalls Gin, Brooklyn Gin. It's a tonic cordial. So it's a fresh tonic, a little bit of soda water. And it's really funny that it's just, you know...
It's delicious.
It's so a gin
yummy.
And tonic, but it's a fresh gin and tonic. I mean,
But what's the color?